Are we ready? I want you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. We're continuing talking about one another. The Bible, as we've seen, is full of one another's. Doing this to one another. We even had one sermon a few weeks ago about don't do these things to one another. We need to understand if, as Treva said in Sunday school, if we put God first, we need to realize then that we as ourselves are not second. Others need to be second. Amen? And that's not what the world is telling us today. The world is telling us, look for number one. I mean, I personally get a little both frustrated and amused when men who are playing games and making millions of dollars say that they feel like that they're getting the raw end of the deal. Saw a cartoon the other day. Haley and Treva will especially get a kick out of this. Joyce, your daughter would get a kick out of this. It showed a guys playing basketball, and this big limousine was driving by. And the basketball player says, well, looky there. There goes one of those teachers making $10 million a year, and here I am struggling playing this game. And it said, in an alternate universe. Can I tell you the reason why so many people are feeling offended and disenfranchised in our world today? It's not because of the color of their skin. It's not because of the way they've been treated. I will tell you, people feel that way when they refuse or fail to put God first and others second and themselves last. Amen. Some of you have probably seen this. This has been around a long time. I was sharing this with teenagers when I was a youth pastor, and that's been a long time ago. And that's the word joy. Do you know what the word joy stands for? Jesus, others, you. And if you'll put your life in that priority order, you will experience the joy of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So today we're going to talk about the overflowing love of burden bearing. Go with me to chapter 6 and beginning in verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. I want to share four things out of that passage before I tie it in with another passage. Number one, it says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. You know, unfortunately, what I see having grown up in the church is that oftentimes we catch somebody in a sin and we don't restore them at all. We find it easier to gossip about them, put them down, and try to make them feel bad. But when we are caught in a sin, we want people to cut us some slack. Amen? Can I tell you that this is going to be a shock to some of you. There's not a one of you sitting out there this morning that's perfect. Amen. And Treva, here's the real big kicker. Your pastor's not perfect either. Now, we kind of laugh about that, but do you realize that the reason why so many people out there have rejected the church and rejected Jesus Christ is because we've got too many people sitting in some of our churches today running around acting like they're perfect. Now, be very careful, because if you sit there and too quick to defend yourself, say, well, that's not me, be careful. What you really need to do is say, wait a minute, has my actions and behavior caused somebody to think I'm acting that way, and has that been the problem? Now, something interesting. It says when you catch someone in a sin, those of you who are spiritual, can I tell you what that means? Is those of you that are mature. Spiritual does not mean that you can quote the Bible in the King James Version, forwards and backwards. That's not being spiritual. It doesn't mean spiritual when you because you run around telling everybody that you have some special gift. I've said it many times, and I will continue to say it. If you've got to run around trying to tell everybody that what your spiritual gift is, it's probably not. As a matter of fact, I get real uneasy when people come up to me, even other pastors, and say, "Brother, what is your spiritual gifting?" I have a good idea of what God uses me most often, but I really prefer not to tell you what it is. I would just rather know that God uses me in it, and it's not about me, it's about Him. I'm just a willing tool or instrument in His hands. Listen to me. If you're running around constantly trying to impress people with what you think your spiritual gift is, it's not. And that's not who Paul is talking to here. He's saying those of you that are truly in tune with the Holy Spirit and are mature and understand it's not about you, when you catch someone in a sin, restore them gently. Now that word restore, and you'll see it on the screen there, means is the same word they used to talk about mending a fishing net. Have any of you ever fished with net, fishing nets? Charlie, you fished with those big nets they throw out on the water? Casting a net? What happens when you get a hole in the net? You don't catch much, do you? Because the fish can get out. You see, what Paul is kind of saying, he says, look, when a person's had a hole appear in their spiritual fishing net, you don't throw out the net. You mend it carefully. I'm assuming with the net that they would have taken some of the material or some kind of strong thread and they would have sewn the parts back together carefully, tying the knots just right and doing it. They would not have just taken super glue and put a thing of super glue on and said, I hope that holds. They use special. When we go to restore a brother or sister who has fallen back into the sinful lifestyle, it's going to take some time, some effort, some energy, and it takes patience and time, and it's tedious. Oh, how I wish that every time somebody in the church family messed up, how I wish we could just take a magic wand and go bump them on the head and say, boom, stop it, don't do it again, and that was all there was. But Paul says, no, you need to restore them back gently. Bring them back into a right relationship with Jesus Christ and with God the Father. And when you do it, you've got to do it gently. But he says, watch yourself so that you don't get sucked into what they're doing. How many of you know it's easy to get sucked into sin if we're not careful? Oh, how I wish. You know, it would almost be easier if the minute you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and you ask Him into your life and your heart to be your Lord and Savior, wouldn't it be great if He just took you to heaven right then? Wouldn't it be so much easier and simpler that way? No, not really, because He's preparing us. We've got things we've got to learn. We've got to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants us to grow up in Him. Here's the main thrust of this verse. It says, carry each other's burdens. What he has in mind there is that we need to learn to start helping those in need in the time of sickness, time of sorrow, time of financial hardship. We have become a very selfish, self-centered society. Haven't we? I mean, we're in such a hurry to get our own things done that we just don't want to take time to be bothered with people. Some of us have reverted to a spiritual sounding cop out. Oh, you got a problem? I'll pray for you. So doesn't that sound good? Oh, you got a problem. I'll pray for you. More than half the time, we forget to pray for them. But you know what? Sometimes what that person is in need of is they don't need you to pray for them at some point in the future. They need you to sit down and have a cup of coffee with them right now. They don't need the promise of a possible future spiritual sounding exercise. They need your presence in the present. Just sit down with them. Just talk to them. Just let them talk. Oh, my Lord, Lord, help us to learn that what we really are in need of oftentimes is we need people in the body of Christ to be better listeners than they are. Amen. Now, Treva, you've been like me. You've been teaching the Bible a long time. Is it difficult for you to sit and not want to interject when somebody else is teaching? Sometimes. Well, she's doing better than me because I don't care who it is and how good they are. I'm sitting back there and I guess my mind is going 1,000 miles a minute and I constantly want to interject. You know what? Sometimes people don't need you to fix it. They just need you to listen. Men, pay attention. Our wives don't always want us to fix it. They just want us to listen. And all the wives get a chance to say, but ladies, let me just tell you, we're wired to be Mr. Fix-It, so cut us some slack, okay? Restore them gently and carry each other's burdens. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. My own burdens are so heavy. You know what? Sometimes we need to set our burdens down at the feet of the Heavenly Father so that we can temporarily carry someone else's burdens until they're ready to surrender them to the Father. Do I need to repeat that one? We need to surrender our burdens to the Father so we can carry someone else's burdens temporarily until they reach the point in their faith walk where they're ready to lay their burdens at the feet of the Father. Here's the other two other things we find in this passage. Everything he says to do in verses 3 through 5, understand, we do to honor God, not ourselves. Look what he says. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Look, just because you're going out there and carrying somebody else's burden doesn't mean you need to have a statue erected to yourself. It doesn't mean you need a pat on the back. Oh, we have become so bad about that. Even in the church. Oh, Pastor, I'll do this if I get my name on the plaque. Oh, Pastor, I'll do this if you'll make sure that they know I'm the one that did it. Now, some of you sit there and give me that all you want. I've grown up in this. I have witnessed this. I have seen this. And most of us have been guilty of it to some degree or another. Amen. What is Paul saying in those last verses? He says, look, when you carry the burden for someone else, when you restore another person back into a right relationship, look, don't think too highly of yourself. Don't start thinking as my dear friend that's now in heaven like to say, stop thinking you're all that in a bag of chips. Each one should test his own actions. You need to ask yourself, why did I do this? Why am I doing that? Why am I restoring that person? Why am I carrying their burden? Is it because I love them or is it because I want them to think I'm a great person? He says, then you can take pride in yourself without comparing yourself to somebody else. How many of you know it's okay to be proud of what you've done for the kingdom of God as long as you're not comparing yourself to somebody else? Well, Mary, did you see what I did? You notice it was I who did it, not Charlie. Notice, I'm the one that did that, not Charlie. Charlie didn't do it for you. I did that. No. But you know what? When you can say, look yourself in the mirror and say, wow. Wow, you did good. You were obedient to God's word. And you did it strictly out of love for that brother or sister in Christ. That's the right kind of pride to have. Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Wow, Father, that makes me feel good because you trusted me with that opportunity. Now, the fourth thing I put up there, some of you, if you don't have a somewhat more modern version, some of the older versions, in verse 2 and verse 5, they seem to contradict themselves. Now, the version I read out of doesn't do this, but let me tell you, some of them in verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens. And in some of the older translations, verse 5 says each one should carry his own burden. But the word in English, their translated burden in those two verses, comes from two different Greek words. The first one says, carry the burdens, carry the struggles, carry the troubles, carry the problems for your brother or sister in Christ. Verse 5 would be better translated to say, but you take responsibility for your own actions. We don't like being responsible for our own actions oftentimes, do we? What do we usually like to do? We get into trouble, we do something wrong, and what do we immediately look for? Huh? A scapegoat. Someone else to blame. Well, yeah, I know I hit 3 or 4 bad chords during praise and worship this morning, but it wasn't my fault. It was because Barbara didn't get here in time to help them sing. And because she wasn't up there, my wife was off key. So the bad chords couldn't have been my fault. Can I tell you, it's time for every follower of Christ to take responsibility for their own actions and behavior. Amen. Can I ask you a favor? Stop blaming your poor faith walk on your pastor. Because you know what? I'm your pastor, I'm your shepherd, but I'm not your puppet master. Amen. Stop blaming it on your parents. Not all of us were blessed with good, godly parents. But you know what? Pretty much every one of you sitting here, with the exception of about 2 of you, you're old enough to take responsibility for your own actions no matter what mom and dad did. Amen. It's time for the church, those who claim to be Christians, it's time for us to grow up and take responsibility personally for our own behavior and actions. And when we do that, guess what? We mature and become those that are spiritually able to restore those who fall into sin. We become mature and able to carry their burdens and help them through it. And you know one of the great things about that is when you help them carry their burdens and you watch them mature and suddenly you don't have to carry their burdens anymore, guess what? Oh, it brings great joy to you. Amen? Now, I want to tie this in with another verse. The Lord kind of directed me this way. What is the result of doing this for one another? All right? What is the result? Well, we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. This is the result of carrying one another's burdens. This is the result of restoring those who have fallen back into the sinful life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. Paul's writing to the church in Thessalonica. He says, I'm asking the Father and I'm asking the Son to clear up things so I can come visit you. Now listen to this. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for one another and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Friends, listen, when we will allow ourselves to be personally responsible and we will allow the Holy Spirit to grow us up and mature us so that we restore those who have fallen into sin and we carry one another's burdens, all of a sudden our love will increase and overflow for one another. And you all just went dead silent. You want to grow closer to a brother or sister in Christ? Help them bear their burdens when they're going through a tough time. Do you realize that tough times and troubles and struggles will do more to bond us together than the good times? You don't grow as much in the good times as you do in the rough times. Your love will increase and overflow for one another when you learn how to restore the lost one or the backslidden one gently. Your love will overflow when you learn how to help carry someone else's burdens and get them through a difficult time. But there's something interesting in what Paul says. There's that little word, and. Now, all through this series on one another's, we've talked about how the one another's is the brothers and sisters in the church with us, right? But look what Paul says. Your love will increase and overflow for each other or for one another, and... Huh? Come on, don't mumble. For everyone else. This is the first of the one another's I've come across that I can recall this morning that says what you will do for one another, you should also start to do for everyone else. Do you want to see this church family grow? Do you want to see the kingdom of God grow? Do you want to see people turning to Christ and making him Lord and Savior of their life? Then you begin to pray and say, God, let your love overflow. Not just for my brothers and sisters, but for everyone else. Oh. Pastor, you mean the love I show for those sitting here this morning? I should start to show that same love to those out there that don't serve Christ yet? Amen. What was the very first sermon we preached in this series? Who remembers? What's the foundation of all these one another's? Huh? Love one another. Love keeps popping up in every one of these at some point. We cannot do any of the one another's if we don't start with love. But here's the thing, it's not the love that we can work up within ourselves. How many of you love green chili? How many of you love pizza? How many of you love chocolate? How many of you that have one love your spouse and your children and your parents and your grandparents? Okay? Can I just tell you, though, that even the love I have for my wife is not a strong enough love to bring people into the kingdom of God? Amen. Oh, you mean there's something beyond that? The love, the only way that our love can increase and overflow for one another and for those out there is when we daily put God first. Thank you for the great springboard in Sunday school this morning, Treva. When we put God first and understand that our greatest love is for Him and the greatest love we can experience comes from Him and every other form of love needs to be an offshoot of that agape love that the Father has for us. Amen. Lord, I need your love today and I don't need it just for me. I don't need to selfishly have it just for me. God, I don't want you just to fill me up to the rim. I want you to overflow so that your love flows out of me to those around me. Because when that happens, I can begin to help them carry their burdens. And folks, as we reach out and help others with their burdens, that's how we begin to draw them into the family of God. Amen. The overflowing love of burden bearing. The church today, no matter how big each local congregation is or how small it is, we have the opportunity today to see the greatest revival that we have ever experienced. But that will only happen when we daily allow God to fill us with His love to such a degree it begins to overflow and it automatically begins to just flow out to those around us, whether they deserve it or not. Whether they ask for it or not, whether you even like them or not. How many of you know it's possible to love people you don't like? Please do not name names. Do you realize if you'll begin daily to let God fill you with more and more of His love, you will find that those people you don't think you like, God will give you a special love for them and you'll begin to like them. Even if they still act like, I'm trying to think of a more theological term, please. Even when they act in such a way that they don't deserve your courtesy and that love, here's the thing to remember. None of us deserve the love of God. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand. If I start trying to bear their burden, they're just going to keep piling it and piling and piling it. When's enough enough? Well, let me just remind you, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, He took upon Himself at that moment every sin from the moment of Adam and Eve first sinning in the garden to the very last sin that will be committed before He comes back. When I mention the sin of Adam and Eve, the first sin, how many of you immediately think about them biting the fruit? Is that what you think of? Do you realize that was not the first sin? Now, some will disagree with me, and that's okay. But I thought about it this week. You realize the first sin that was committed was when Eve gave the serpent the opportunity to even speak into her life. Eating the forbidden fruit was just the result of sin. Some of us, listen to me, our problem each day that sucks the life out of us, our problem each day that causes us to be less than Christ-like is not the behavior or the actions, it's the fact that we give the enemy obedience and allow him to begin to speak into our heart and mind first thing in the morning. That's why it becomes so important. The minute we awaken, it becomes so important for us to begin to immediately focus upon the Father and put God first. Amen? Amen. So this week, we all need, no matter how well we've been doing or how well we haven't been doing, this week, our task is to say, Lord, let your love overflow through me as I help someone else bear their burdens. Oh, but Pastor, I don't want to be a burden bearer. I've got enough of my own. Well, this morning, take yours and lay them at the feet of the Father and don't pick them up again. And then ask Him to show you who you need to go and assist to carry their burdens and help them reach the point where they can come and lay them at the feet of the Father as well. Amen?
Amen.
If that's your prayer, if you say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept that challenge, would you stand to your feet this morning? I want His love to overflow as I become a burden bearer for others. Amen? Sister Betty, will you pray this morning that God will help us all to be better burden bearers for Him so that others can experience His love? And if you'll turn, and I want those online to be able to hear you as well, please.